ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
QF8 is coming from Dallas.
We're here standing next to a jittery Paulina. Years of emails, phone calls, group chats and messages across two continents have led to this moment.
You gotta wait, so it was Dallas, QF8, landed.
I know how she feels. Hi, I'm Takumbudzi and welcome to Earshot's The Other Me season, where we're following stories from people who might be discovering a secret or two, especially family secrets. In my 20 years of travel between Zimbabwe and Australia, navigating the chaos of airports is always more bearable than the goodbyes. It hurts not knowing when you'll return to the place you're leaving or when you'll next see your loved ones. Luckily for Paulina, today's a great airport day.
Let's go to stream with them.
Reunions at Sydney International Airport are actually like that cheesy scene from the movie Love Actually.
Paulina!
Tears. Laughter. And if you're Tongan, it's very likely to include a long, deep inhale to drink in the smell of the sister who you haven't seen for 8 years.
How are you?
I'm good.
Julita is my half-sister, although I never refer to her that way.
Oh, show me the tattoo.
Yeah, our uncle did it on grandma's side.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. I know. Julita's got a new tattoo on her wrist. She knows how to pick a good Tongan motif, and she can speak a lot more Tongan than me.
Because I had my dad, our dad. He had one last kid so that he'd always be taken care of, for real.
She and I share the same Tongan father, Paula Wei Kaetau Maungafi Fusitua, or as we call him, Kie Kie. We both have white mums. I grew up in Australia with my single mum, and Julita grew up with her mum and our dad in San Francisco. Julita's my youngest sister. There's 14 years between us, so it's taken us years, but Julita truly gets me. Not just the lawyer Paulina in the Western world, or the Paulina in the Tongan world, but the Paulina who straddles both, the other me. She's the youngest of, I think, five of us, spread across the Pacific, same dad, different mums. Mum had always told me about Paul, a half-brother in Hawaii, and maybe another brother, and that I should be careful who I marry. I didn't realise that finding them would be a path to finding me. Back at my unit in Cronulla, Julita doesn't have jet lag yet. So we do what sisters do and we sit on the bed, cuddling my naughty doggos, catching up and telling old stories. Detective stories about tracking down and finding long-lost siblings, including each other.
I was a teenager when I found out about you.
I want to say I kind of always knew about you. My mom always told me about you. It was the other ones I didn't really know anything about. I would have been like 5 or 6 and you sent a dolphin necklace with a...
You don't?
No, I do.
I still have it.
It was silver.
Yeah.
So I really didn't have a lot of close family. So I was really excited. Really excited. Yeah. That's why I still have it.
You don't?
I do. The dolphin necklace? Of course I do.
It's very touching. I'm sorry I forgot about it.
I know. A dolphin necklace.
Oh, dear. Mama, it's just me.
Mum and I found out about Julita when I was 18 and Julita was 4.
Hello. How are you going?
I'm good. Thank you.
And a letter arrived in the mail with a photo of 4-year-old Julita in a purple dress. Mum's always supported me in getting to know and spend time with my Tongan family. She sent me to Sydney regularly to visit my auntie, Fatai, and even let Fatai take me to Tonga when I was only 7 years old.
Family is terribly important to me. Family is just important, and knowing who you are, it's not only family, is it? It's identity. Who am I? What am I made of? Who am I made of?
Yes. Milk, please.
I'll get you the protein milk.
My mother's an educator and an anthropologist. My father was a civil engineer. He grew up in Tonga and went to Hawaii when he was about 18, I think.
I was in Hawaii when I met your father. I was invited to a wedding and your father was at that wedding.
My parents split before I was born, but my father was there when I was born in Melbourne and made sure I had a proper Tongan baptism. They named me Paulina Meliame Mongafi Kini Fustua.
Do you remember people treating me differently because I was a brown kid or not thinking that I was your kid?
You were my child, and that's how people treated you.
You've told me this story when I was four. Oh, yes. And you walked into the bedroom and I was covered in talcum powder, and I think I made you cry because you asked me why, and I said, because I don't want to be brown, I want to look like my cousins.
Yeah. Well, I was aware that in your life you might incur people discriminating against you. When I saw that, I was really sorry it had happened and surprised.
In primary school, I identified fiercely as Australian, as if that might magically give me blonde hair and white skin. And when I went to Tongan when I was 7, I looked the part, but I felt like I was play-acting. I had to wear different clothes, I wasn't allowed to play on Sundays, and I didn't know how to speak Tongan. My dad, Kia Kia, came to visit us in Australia once when I was growing up. But for my sister, it was a different story.
I love you.
I love you too.
Her parents stayed together. Kia Kia raised my little sister in the States from the get-go. He cooked for her, took her to school, took her to Tongan functions.
Will you want me to bring them both in here?
And now she cares for him.
How are you feeling?
I'm okay.
Okay. I got some taro and some coconut milk if you want me to make you food in a little bit.
You're very pretty.
I'm okay. I look like you.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Kingdom of Tonga. The local time now is 15 minutes past 2 o'clock.
The first time I met my sister was in Tonga. She was 7, I was 21. It was her first trip to Tonga. Family from around the world were flying into Fuamotu International Airport for King Taufa Hautupo IV's 85th birthday celebrations.
We went and got you from the airport. So I was like on someone's shoulders and they were like, there she is, there she is. You were wearing a long black skirt.
I knew by then I had to wear the right clothes. I'd already done trips where I'd worn jean shorts and that had been very frowned upon. So I was wearing a long skirt.
Yeah, you looked fine. And it was really emotional for our dad. Like really emotional for him. He was like freaking out, acting hella weird before you got there. But it meant a lot to him.
It was only the second time I'd met my dad, and the first time I'd met him as an adult.
I think I was sort of vomiting every day before I left. I didn't feel anxious, but my body was telling me that I was really freaking out about seeing our dad.
You were super awkward. You guys had like your first hug, and you guys were both like really stiff.
Yeah, I was just like, okay, here's that guy. Who's my dad? But there was no connection. I don't know. It's been the feature of our relationship is that he finds it really difficult to talk to me.
The king's birthday was a massive deal. We sat for what seemed like hours cross-legged on the ground under marquees with hundreds of others waiting before we could start eating at the Kaipola, the feast.
You were like this little firecracker who's hot and fidgety and can't stop talking. Why do Tongans, why do the men wear skirts? Oh why God. Do they wear skirts? And I said, Julita, ne nosca se tu penus. And she's like, tu penus skirts, whatever. I don't want to eat that. Where's the white bread I want?
No McDonald's? And I had this crazy attitude because by the time Kekia had gotten to me, for whatever reason, one reason or another, he didn't get to raise any of his other kids. He didn't raise any of his other kids. So by the time I came around, the traditional things went off. Like, I was just allowed to do whatever, say whatever.
You were spoiled.
Super spoiled.
When Julita was little, all I could see were the differences between us. At 7, even though she was raised by a Tongan parent, Julita didn't have proper cultural awareness. My mum, the anthropologist, had taught me to respect Tongan culture. But Mum wasn't Tongan, and being told about something is very different to living it. It was another 4 years before we saw each other again, and again, it was in Tonga. This time, It was for our cousin's wedding, to one of the princesses.
The Honourable Lupepau Salamasina Upuea Valii. It was the biggest event in Tonga that year.
There were 2,000 guests.
Our family from all over the island came.
They came and somehow helped us cook for 1,000 people for the first Sunday lunch after the wedding. We turned the backyard into a giant earth kitchen with dozens of pigs on spits roasting over a 50-metre long fire pit.
So the night that we cooked for the wedding was...
You weren't cooking, you were hanging out and having fun.
Well, the night that you guys stayed up all night cooking was my favourite night. I had never experienced anything like that. Nighttime in Tonga with just cousins everywhere and food everywhere. And
I remember feeling really proud because I stayed up all night and kind of managed the production line for various dishes. And I have no doubt that my first cousins have done this hundreds of times. But this was the first time that I had ever been kind of in charge of this. And the day came and we put on the most amazing lunch and I felt an immense pride.
I mean, there had to have been 70 to 80 people at the house roasting pigs and all of these relatives who really didn't have much. They came and gave everything they had to the wedding. And it was beautiful.
For the wedding, the female relatives of the groom were wrapped in mats that were part of the dowry.
Huge aspect of Tongan culture is the ngatu, or the fala, the bark beaten down and drawn with kupesis, with the traditional Tongan designs, and they're gifted to the opposite side of the family.
We stood like starfish and twisted as two people wrapped us. There were so many layers, it was awesome. They made a shelf that I could sit my drink bottle and camera on.
I would say that the closer in blood relation that you were to him, the more mats you wore.
And the nicer the mats. Because I remember I watched Liwaki's mats had the finest little red feathers. And I just thought, that is the most beautiful mat. And my mats were pretty shitty. I didn't even make it to being a bridesmaid. Oh, well.
Julita, on the other hand, was one of the 22 bridesmaids to the princess, even though she was only 11.
11, you were little.
I was 11.
By that age then, you were probably culturally more progressed than I was in some ways, as far as Tongan culture.
I definitely was, at that age, more accustomed to Tongan culture than I was the first time we went.
And really grateful that I have first cousins who are so patient that they can put up with the questions of, why are we wearing rip mats for this thing? And how long do we have to sit there? And how come everyone's wailing? And all my dumb palangi questions.
Palangi is an affectionate term we use for white people. And I wonder if that's why we're not. I hesitate to use this term, but why we're not as Tongan as our first cousins.
We're not Tongan in the same way that they're Tongan. We're palangi loi. I feel like I'm a palangi loi, a white lie.
Tongans that act white, and that's a horrible way to say that, but who give off a more Western demeanor. And what's so funny is that I just feel so Tongan.
Going to weddings, wearing mats, staying up all night cooking made me feel more Tongan. Our Tongan families always called Julita and me hafakasi, literally meaning half-caste, as a matter-of-fact way to explain to others where we fit in. But it's always been used affectionately. I know it's not an acceptable term, but funnily enough, it made me feel more Tongan. Yet I still felt like an outsider, and to feel like I belonged, I needed to find others like me. We always knew we had an older brother, Paul, in Hawaii, and I tried to find him online, but it wasn't until Facebook took off that it became a real possibility. Paul's ex-wife messaged Julita trying to contact his family. I had to go find him.
On behalf of Hawaiian Airlines, most especially your entire flight crew, we'd like to thank you for choosing to fly with us today.
Julita was now 18, and so we met up in Hawaii without even knowing whether Paul would agree to meet us.
I think it was one of the most emotional trips ever, because even though I always knew about Paulina, she was my sister, I always knew about Paul as the baby that my father lost.
And Paul was hesitant to meet us. We found out that he was struggling with addiction. He stood us up a couple of times. But finally, he came to our hotel in Waikiki. That first conversation was truly bizarre. When's your birthday? Did you like school? Let's compare our hands.
It was awkward at first, and he definitely blamed our father for a lot of the trauma that he'd been through, and he wasn't shy about saying that. And I just remember feeling guilty.
See, I didn't feel guilty.
And well, of course not, because...
Yeah.
And I just remember feeling really guilty and saying it out loud. But he essentially just told me that he was okay and that he wasn't upset with me and that he blamed our dad, but not me, and that he was happy that at least I got him. So I bawled. I just started crying and crying and crying. I feel like that's something that a brother's supposed to tell his little sister.
And he was happy to be claimed.
Oh,
so happy. He was angry with our dad, but he was really happy that we'd come and found him.
Our brother didn't use our father's last name anymore. I mean, he felt really disconnected. And so he found out, you know, that we wanted tattoos. And he said, "Don't worry, my friend Trevor does tattoos." We were like, "Great, have him come over to the hotel room."
The tattoo we designed was an ulua, a Hawaiian word for a particular fish, I think. The fish was filled with kupesis, Tongan motifs, which are kind of intricate. I was very concerned that it fit on my ankle and not be too prominent. Trevor assured us that it would be fine.
He'd be like, don't trip, I'm going to put it exactly how you want. Oh, I know how to do tattoos, yeah.
At least his needles were sterile, but he had no paper towels, like, so he asked for one of our t-shirts and he ripped it up. And I remember thinking, like, I don't think that shirt is clean. And my beautiful sister volunteered to go first.
And so I went first with Trevor wiping my leg down with my sister's white t-shirt. And then the needle broke. And it was like a divine power had intervened and said, "Wake up! Stop this right now! This is not a good idea!"
And we went into the bathroom to look at it.
First quarter of it or so.
It looks like a tombstone with a fin coming out of the left side.
And people often ask me, "Why didn't you get it finished?" And I say, no, because it reminds me of Paul.
That's all we have of him.
That is. That's what I have of Paul. Half ulua on your ankle.
My sister and I are so different, but together we just make sense. I bought Australian souvenir tea towels for Paul's ex-wife. But my sister said that nobody in America gives dishcloths as gifts.
Dish towels are a weird gift. It's cool, though. It was the thought that counts.
Turns out she was right. When Julita met Paul's 8-year-old son, she started sniffing him, saying she could smell the blood.
Smell it. I know when people are related to us. I don't know why you're laughing. I've been able to do it since I was a kid.
I assured his mother this was a very Tongan thing, and not to worry. Like I said, together, we made sense. I used to say that trip was one of the best things I've ever done because we found our brother Paul. But now, looking back, I realise it's because Julita and I grew so close on that trip.
I got very, very close to you on that trip. When you're like working together for a greater purpose, you really bond.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we have fun together, and it's hilarious because, well, we did not enjoy the same music because I remember we could never agree on a radio station to listen to in the car, so we ended up listening to the top 40. But now I have this crazy affection for all these songs from 2008, like Tayo Cruz and Kesha, Nicki Minaj. You also were just amazing to me, and you're always talking really positively about yourself, and I became very aware that I talk really negatively about myself. That was like a turning point for me.
And I just think we were so dope together. Like,
we are dope together.
We are.
Yeah, together we're just a super sensible and fun person.
And that's why we shouldn't be living on different continents.
On the last day in Hawaii, we called our dad to tell him the good news about finding Paul. He was so excited that he decided to tell us about another brother in Hawaii. He gave us the name of the boy's mother. We looked her up in the white pages and found an address. We went to the house, but we couldn't bring ourselves to knock on her door. What would we say? What would that be like for her? As soon as I got home to Australia, though, I sent her a letter. And then, a year later, Julita and I found ourselves booking another trip to Hawaii to meet our older brother, Phil. Hey, Phil.
Hello.
It's Paulina.
Hi, sis.
I think the beginning of our story, I think, is when I wrote a letter to your mom, Mary.
Yeah, I still get the letter, too. I'm putting it on Ziploc and I'm putting it in my drawer. I still have it.
Oh, that's beautiful.
I was kind of shocked. I had one sister, you know, where we were face to face. Then it really hit me because we had features there.
Yeah, it's true. We're physically similar.
Looking at each other's feet, it looks similar. I was tripping off.
Can I ask you, Phil, what it felt like to be found by me and Julita?
Like if you was lost.
Yeah.
And then you lost something and then you found them and feel so good. I don't know. It's like I had a new breath of life inside again. I used to see people with sisters. I always wonder how that would feel if I had a sister or brother. But when you came and you guys went hunt for me, oh, that felt so good. To this day, I feel good.
Me too. You know? Me too, bro. I do think you guys should come to Australia, though. There's cheap flights.
We will come. Maybe next year.
Really?
Around May or March.
Okay. Yeah. This is brilliant.
I love you.
I love you guys too.
Okay, my sister.
Auf atu. Bye. I've never consciously felt angry towards my dad, but I clearly haven't processed all my feelings about him. It's not rational, but I blame him for the fact that I wasn't able to grow up with and know my siblings until I was an adult. But I wasn't going to let that stop me finding them or any other cousins. About 11 years ago, I was in New Zealand when I was told about a new cousin, a niece, who I'd never met before. Also Hafakasi, also with an absent Tongan father. I had to meet her.
Kia ora, everyone. My full name is Tiana Ida Kahurangi Mill. I'm in Wellington, so I'm just at home in Island Bay.
But it didn't stop there. Tiana told me about her half-brother in America, who was about 12 at the time. I friended him on Facebook, and trying not to be too creepy, I'd drop him a line every year or so.
Yeah, hi, my name's Logan, Logan Knight Fuzutua. I'm currently at home in Okmulgee, Oklahoma, in the US right now.
My mum is of Māori descent. Our tribe is Ngāti Porou. And my dad, his name is Mataiulua Fusitua. And yeah, he's of Tongan descent.
My dad is also Mataiulua Fusitua.
Their dad, Mataiulua Fusitua, that's the cousin whose wedding Julita and I went to in 2003. Before the wedding, he'd had a couple of kids. Similar story to us. Same dad, different mums. Two kids growing up on two different continents, not knowing about each other. They're what you'd call my second cousins. The four of us have a group chat called Half Caste Legends, which is us reclaiming who we are. Mostly we use it to text, but sometimes we talk.
As far as I know, my mom had always told me of them. Like when we were sitting in front of the car, my mom just looked at me and she's like, "You have a little sister, by the way."
I feel like that must be our family MO, because I feel like just dropping siblings on people randomly is something that happens often.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
Agreed.
Logan was born within 20 miles of where I was living at the time, but neither of us actually knew.
That's wild.
I remember just putting in our last name into Facebook, and I remember the picture too. Logan, you were super, like, young in the Facebook profile photo, and I remember just looking at it and instantly being like, I think this person's my brother.
I had to wait until I was in my 30s to find my brothers. I didn't want Tiana or Logan to have to wait that long to meet their Tongan family or each other. So, when Logan was 18, I got him a passport and convinced him to travel to Australia, New Zealand, and Tonga. I don't know who was more excited, me or Tiana.
The first time meeting Logan, and I flew to Sydney, I remember getting off the plane and feeling really nervous because it was like, oh my God, I'm meeting this person who is, we literally share like half the same DNA. He's my brother. And yet he's a stranger as well.
It was the last piece of the puzzle into place. Like, I just understood. Like, Tiana, when I first saw you, I immediately knew. Like, you can see it in our faces. Mm. We're siblings. And I remember we, like, clicked pretty quickly.
You two are inseparable. Inseparable. Are we going for a walk down to the beach? Are we going to go do this? And I was like, they've never met. And they're just...
I think I felt a bit lopsided at times because I grew up quite immersed in my Māori culture. Where identity, family, lineage and culture are everything for us. And yet I didn't know a whole half of me.
Putting a face to you guys and seeing how much we actually had in common despite being raised differently, it was really emotional.
Mm.
I absolutely feel Tongan. I wouldn't necessarily say I always felt that way. The trip where I got to meet everyone is what really put like roots in me that yes, you are Tongan. This, you know, this is your culture, this is your heritage, this is your family.
I think that my sister has pioneered so many connections for all of us.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And this is the beauty of my sister, right? We were talking and she said, I can't believe it. Logan's never met his father. Logan's never been back home. And it was just unacceptable for her. Like, there was no way Paulina was gonna let Logan and Tiana just be floating in the world without knowing each other and going back home. And I think that that's beautiful.
It is.
You guys are important for me because it took me a long time to tell myself that I was Tongan. I didn't want to be Tongan when I was a kid. I wanted to be a white Aussie kid. And we are all Tongan. And our Tongan dads went out around the world and had us. So finding you guys and having you guys and telling you guys that you're also Tongan is kind of part of me owning my Tonganness.
It's like we all have one foot in and one foot out. And Paulina has literally been able to give me my brother. Like, he's, mm-hmm. She's linked me to him and so many other people. And it's just been massive.
I'm, like, more than grateful for what you've done for us, Paulina.
Oh, Fatu, we love you guys.
Oh, Fatu, bye.
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 Julita and I had 6 days together when she was in Australia this time. It was jam-packed. We sang with our auntie, Fatai. We did a road trip in country New South Wales to see our cousin Jimmy, where a meat pie didn't agree with Julita. We walked my dogs on the beach and we talked and cried and laughed and talked.
And they think that's pretty nice.
And then we got matching tattoos, proper ones this time. A contemporary Tongan tattoo designed by our nephew Logan.
That's very good.
I'm going to go interrupt Dad.
You got to wait till the better part comes.
No one wants to be an outsider when they're a kid. Maybe ever. No one wants to feel left out, look different. What's helped me come to terms with who I am and love who I am and be proud of who I am is to find others like me.
Welcome to Tonga, everyone. If you're visiting, we hope you enjoy the stay. And if you're returning home, welcome home.
And now it's time to take the next generation of Hafakasis to Tonga.
Do you know
welcome
that song?
To Tonga, Grace Maliamis.
It's been a long time coming.
It's so nice to be here.
So good.
Thanks to Paulina Futsitua and producer Jennifer Macy, with our sound engineer Simon Branthwaite. Next time on Earshot, what does your voice reveal about you? Not the words you say, but the other information that your voice conveys in your voice print. I'm Takumbudzi. Speak to you soon.
ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.